Joe knows politics and so much more. A true connection to real New York on 77 WABC.
Yeah, holiday season, here we go.
Have a holly jolly Christmas. It's the best time of the year. I don't know if there'll be snow, but have a cup of cheer.
Well, I hope there will be snow for those of you who want it, and for those of you who don't, I totally get it. Right now, we are privileged to have with us America's undocumented anchorman, the star of TV on two continents, Mark Stein.
Thank you. Last week, James, I think you opened with Aretha singing "Think," and I was thinking this guy has the coolest bumper music. But "Holly Jolly Christmas" is one of those ones I'm never sure about.
Well, you know something, Mark? I'm not going to say anything. I would just say this: it's not my choice.
Oh, okay. Try, I tell you what, you know what you might like? Lou Rawls' version of Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. That's pretty cool.
I'm going to try that. Yeah. So, Mark, we've got some stories I have to ask you about. What can Europe teach us in America about jobs? This, of course, is from Paul Krugman in the New York Times today. And he says it is ours because we are isolated. You know, we don't talk other languages like we don't speak other languages like they do in Europe. And we're not advanced like Europe. And every time someone brings up Europe, we yell down socialism, socialism, socialism. And so we don't know about jobs like they do over in Europe.
Well, That's that clever, sophisticated thing that New York Times readers like. There's lots of variations between Europe. So talking about, the job scene in Europe is like talking about what the weather's like in Africa. Well, which bit are you talking about? And, for example, France has a very highly regulated labor market that it's hard to get into. And once you're in, it's hard for anybody to get you out of. And one reason why the French government thinks all these so-called migrants are heading from France to England is because, by contrast, the UK has a large so-called black market in which people are working off the books, and which is much harder to do in France. And so you can work secretly and make a lot more money there. And then you have situations like Switzerland, where in Geneva, for example, people have great jobs, but they can't afford to live in the country. So if you work in Geneva, you have to buy a house in rural France next door and cross an international border to work every day. So this whole thing that there is some European, and then again, you have, since the European Union came along, you now have an open labor market. So for years, for example, in Western Europe, all the people working there came from Eastern Europe. They were Poles and they were Slovenes and they were Bulgars. And they were all these latter-day members of the European Union who had huge qualifications in Poland, but figured that, you know, for what a doctor earns in Poland, it pays more money to be a barista in Belgium. So the whole thing is, you know, right now what's stalling the American job market is it costs a huge amount of money to pay an American. And you know that because WABC is in New York City, which is one of the most hyper-regulated states. I hired a lady you know who used to work for Rush to come and work for me. And she worked for me from basically her New York studio apartment. So she woke up in the morning, strolled 3 feet from her bed to her desk and began working for me. And in order for me to hire her to do that, I had to pay the so-called New York commuter mobility tax, New York commuter mobility tax, because to work for me, she commuted from her bed to her desk.
Insane.
It's this hyper-regulation that's actually, and I would never hire anyone, no disrespect to listeners, but I would never hire anyone from New York State again. It's actually easier for me to hire somebody from Fiji or Papua New Guinea.
So
Paul Krugman is actually arguing, saying New York State isn't regulated enough. Is there anybody in New York State who believes that?
Well, here's one of the other things he says, though. He says over in Denmark, for instance, Mark, McDonald's pays more than $20 an hour. They give you 6 weeks paid vacation. And we don't do that here. We have a low minimum wage here. We have very little vacation time here. We don't have parental and sick leave like they do over in Europe. So, you see, we're bad.
Yeah, but you said that kind of argument. I mean, America has 350 million people. And this idea that you can have a national minimum wage for that, because you've got some of the most expensive real estate in the world here. And you've also got some, like in my corner of New Hampshire, where you've got basically, if you're not a ski resort or if you don't have a hospital, your town is pretty much dead. So this idea that there is, and by comparison, Denmark, those Scandinavian societies are countries of a few million people that are very homogenous and in which everybody is basically middle class. That's the thing. Like Norway is a nation of 4 million people, almost all that no one's terribly rich and no one's terribly poor. And they've just been like that for a long time. And this is banal rubbish from Paul Krugman at a time when the state has taken the power to say, oh, well, you can open your restaurant this week. Oh, no, there's a new variant. Sorry, your restaurant's closing. Oh, you're moving into the hair salon business. Oh, well, sorry, you can't cut people's hair. We're closing you down because this new variant has too many mutations. That's actually the issue. The Western economies have committed suicide. And the only country showing any economic growth from this last couple of years is China, which started the whole thing, has a gangbusters economy, and actually the best place on the planet to open a new nightclub or a new hair salon or a new restaurant is Wuhan, because judging from all the YouTube videos, it's a 24-hour party town, like New York used to be. If you want to wake up in a city that doesn't sleep and find your king of the hill, top of the heap, move to Wuhan.
Speaking of, you've just crossed into two areas that I would love to talk with you about. The first is, and I think this almost sounds like it comes out of Marvel Studios, the new evil plague facing humanity, the Omicron.
When they first mentioned it, I thought, wait a minute, I saw that with my kid 2 years ago. What was it called? Avengers Age of Omicron?
Right.
I thought, I've seen that. I want to be on to the next thing. I want to be on to the next thing now. I love the way they did it. They said they didn't call it the Xi variant, XI, because that was actually the next one in the Greek alphabet that they should have, because Xi is a common name and it would confuse people. In fact, we all know that they didn't call it the Xi variant because Chairman Xi would be deeply insulted and it might possibly remind people that Beijing are to blame for inflicting this thing on the planet. But I actually find Omicron such a funny name that I would love it if Chairman Xi were to announce that he were changing his name to Chairman Omicron. This is pathetic, really. It's China's world and we just pay for it.
Well, we've already got travel bans now going to effect on Africa. And we've already got people saying, no, we can't let those Africans in here. We don't want them in here. Never mind the Africans. How is this not racist?
Well, no, it's much more. I love the way that Biden called Trump's China travel ban racist.
Right.
This is actually far more racist. If you talk to almost any South African doctor who knows anything about Omicron, they say, oh, it makes you feel drowsy and heavy-limbed, which is actually the effect the vaccine has on a lot of people. A lot of people, the second shot makes them heavy-limbed for 2 or 3 days. Well, that's basically what Omicron does. So the idea that a businessman in Cape Town is forbidden to get on a plane to JFK or LAX is not in the least bit warranted about this, and especially not when at the Rio Grande anybody can come in with anything. You can have the full set. You can have the Omicron variant, the Delta variant, the G variant, the Andromeda strain, whatever's next, and just take your skiff across the Rio Grande.
And then Joe Biden and his pals will ship you to wherever in the United States you want to go in the middle of the night.
Yeah, that's what I love about that too. It's like, I would have loved that. You know, I remember the first time when I was a teenager and I came to America, and you have to go everywhere by bus from Port Authority Bus Terminal, which was like a dangerous place to be in those days. I was a very fetching young lad when I was 17 or so, and the number of people say, "Oh no, you don't need to take the Greyhound. I'm happy to drive you to Binghamton." and I was a naive young Canadian lad and thought that they were all just very kind and well meaning. And it's none of that here. They're actually these people are being housed. You know, in relatively good mid-market chain hotels at taxpayer expense. I don't know why. You know, if you look at it in theory, Biden has basically incentivized all 7 billion people of the planet to move here. And to be honest, I don't know why they haven't already all shown up. And then at that point, the rest of the planet will be empty, and so there'll be lots of places for every American looking for somewhere to flee to.
Now, you're on the GB News Network every week. I saw a news story today. One of your pals, Nigel Farage, and one of my friends, too, is going to speak with President Trump on the GB News Network. For those that don't know, what is GB News? What are they doing? How can Americans tune in, and how can they find you and Nigel and Donald Trump and all the rest of the crew on GB?
Well, Nigel's interview with Donald J. Trump is 2 hours. They like each other and they get on. You remember that Rush did that 3-hour interview with the president a couple of weeks before the election. Nigel's a British subject, so he doesn't get the full 3 hours, but Mr. Trump gave him 2 hours, and it airs tomorrow.
7 o'clock tomorrow night, yeah.
Yeah, 7 o'clock GMT, which is 2 o'clock in the afternoon in New York. But there's a very convenient replay at midnight, which is 7 p.m. in New York. And Nigel and what they have in common, basically, is a great sense of humor. So they talked about Meghan and Harry and whether he's going to run again and the COVID. But their sense of humor is in sync. So I think people will like that. It'll be a great interview.
And where do people find you on GB Network, the GB News?
Well, I'll be in because Nigel will be flying back to the UK on Thursday. So I'll be doing his show on Thursday. That's 7 p.m. London time, and also I do my own show on Friday at 7 p.m. London time. So it's, as I said, the midnight. If you're one of the last 7 Americans who's still got a steady job and has to be at work in the middle of the afternoon, the midnight replay, which is 7 p.m. New York time, is probably the best to go for.
Now, finally, let's get to this story before it's time for us to move along and say goodbye until next week. The most powerful data broker in the world is winning the war against the U.S. That's what the warning is from the New York Times. And that powerful data broker is China.
And it's all China. And one thing the COVID made clear is that China has basically become the dominant economic power in a way of nobody in the history of the world has done it. You know, if you go back to the end of the 19th century, when Britain, Germany, and America were all sort of jostling with each other to see who'd come out on top, they were all basically in the same game. What happened here is that basically, a bunch of clever Americans at the Chamber of Commerce and other places decided to transfer the entirety of American manufacturing to a communist dictatorship and basically helped them to come up with the only economically viable form of communism. That was the thing that Stalin and Lenin could never figure out. It all makes sense on paper, but somehow we seem to be broke. And the American Chamber of Commerce solved that defect in communism.
Thanks, guys.
And now they're moving to the next stage, which is that they're actually moving ahead of us in a lot of the high tech field. They're basically buying up everything on the planet they need to buy up, and once they've bought it up, then they're using it to develop their own advances on it. So they're fighting for the stuff that matters. Data is power in the 21st century. It's not really about how many carrier groups you have anymore. It's not about how many tanks you have. I mean, they sit in the Pentagon still wargaming tank battles on the East German plain. China's not planning on getting into any tank battles. It's using the weaponry that matters, like data.
Amazing. Mark, we will speak with you next Tuesday. Thank you for joining us, and we will look for you on GB News.
Always a pleasure, James. And don't miss Nigel and Donald J. Trump together.
Thanks so much. James Golden, WABC Talk Radio 77, back after this.